Great to hear your voice. How are you on this, very Seattle-looking Tuesday afternoon?
Well, I'm I spent all day in French Lick down at the resort at a conference with and I'm on my way back right now, so I'm pulled over somewhere here. Where am I? Between Orleans and Mitchell, somewhere in that area. But beautiful, beautiful part of the state here. And we had a great convening at French Lick, as we're it was led by the Regional Opportunities Initiative. Of course, that organization is headed by my good friend and great community leader, Tina Peterson. She was there with her team, and we were discussing strategies for addressing the housing crisis in the Hoosier Uplands region, but particularly in Monroe County. So it was a very productive convening today. Walked away with a lot of ideas and outcomes and things that we're going to be looking for. You know, we need about 7,000 additional units of housing in Monroe County. That's what we're short of right now, and that's what the studies indicated. And so we got all of that information today. I think we'll be seeing more of this coming out in the news later, so just kind of keep an eye out for that. But this is going to be a big initiative for the community. We have to address this housing issue.
And I would just add 10% to that, because we have so many developments, it feels like weekly, quarterly, on either new business, the semiconductor folks that are coming this way, and businesses expanding and doing this, that, and the other thing. I know you're going off this report, and I'm not disputing it. That's not what I'm saying. I just think that the springboard, by the time we digest all this information, there's four or five more bigger things happening that we didn't take into account the first time.
Oh, you bet. Yeah, yeah, no doubt about it. And this is a workforce issue. You know, we've got to be able to attract, retain, recruit a highly skilled, talented workforce that we want here in Bloomington and Monroe County. And if we're going to do that, we have to have places for them to live. And right now, it's just totally inadequate. But we're going to put some plans together. And I think, you know, this is something that the community can really rally behind. We can work with our elected officials and get some real results.
Well, that's interesting, because the community, the elected officials, well, the community elects the officials, but everybody has to work in concert. This just can't be a one group initiative, can it?
No, you're absolutely right. You know, these kinds of big challenges require big thinking, big ideas, and it requires a lot of collaboration. It requires the public sector coming together, the private sector coming together, the nonprofit sector coming together, all working together to achieve a big community goal. And when we can do that, that's when we're going to have our best outcomes.
Is the biggest hurdle at the moment the way land is zoned? What is that hurdle? I know we read headlines and we see perhaps, you know, the people getting upset either on social media or whatever else. What do you feel is the biggest hurdle right now that we all need to jump over?
Well, there's so many. You know,
it's like the Olympics. We got to jump over 13 of them before we can get to the finish. All right, I get that.
But there's, you know, there really is, I think, some challenges that I hear as president of the Chamber of Commerce from the development and the builders community, and even from, you know, employees, workers, and employers and so forth, that, you know, there seems to not be a real cohesive community strategy behind what our plan is for housing. We know that there's a lot of opportunity in the county. Bloomington's pretty well built up. It's pretty dense. You know, they could go up if they want to, but it's pretty hard to kind of expand outward. Now, the county has a lot of opportunity for that, although we're starting to see some developments with the CDO, the County Development Ordinance, that they're putting together. One of the early recommendations or proposed recommendations was to remove 9,000 acres of residential zone land and return it to agriculture zone land. And so, you know, that alone right there takes a huge portion of residential zone land off the table for prospective new housing developments. And, you know, those are the things that we have questions about. How can we work together to better understand who's being helped most here? How are these zoning decisions helping us achieve the goal of more housing that we desperately need in the community? But there's a whole range of things. I mean, you know, even interest rates are affecting mortgages and the ability to get a mortgage. Monroe County, if you look at median sales prices of homes, we have a real affordability issue here. Just in December, the data showed that the median sales price for a house in Monroe County was $395,000. Now, if you look at the state's median sale price in December for the rest of Indiana, it was $275,000. So that's over $100,000. And the median home sales price here that in Monroe County versus the state of Indiana. So clearly we have an affordability issue. I think a lot of that can be attributed to supply and demand. When you don't have the supply, the price pressures are going to be pushed up.
Well, I'd say because if we have retail business, or let's say we're expanding a convention center and we have all this new business in town, those people have to work somewhere, live somewhere, and $395,000. Now, we can't do anything about national interest rate. We can't do anything about that. But we have to be able to figure out a way to have workforce housing somewhere, some way. But why doesn't anybody want anything in their backyard? If we all claim we want this to be together, we don't want anything near us, but we want all the conveniences that come with that. How do we change that perception, in your opinion?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one, you know, especially, in the Midwest and Indiana. That's kind of, the way some communities are wired. And it takes time to really, flesh out the benefits of, certain developments and how that will benefit the community. And it just means working with constituents and working with neighbors and residents so that we can all kind of pitch in together. And I think ultimately that's what people want to do. They do want to be good partners, but they need to know the why. And maybe sometimes, government struggles with getting that why across when they're making decisions. And a big part of this too is just the availability of sewers. You know, if we're going to get the kind of affordability that we need, we have to have a certain level of density, and you have to, and that requires sewers. You know, you have to be able to extend those sewers. We've got annexation litigation still tied up in the courts. In the meantime, there's a moratorium on any sewer extensions out into the county, regardless of who wants to pay for it. I mean, we've got developers that would love to pay for the sewer extensions if they could just get it done. But, you know, unfortunately, all this litigation has got things tied up. And as a result, again, the community suffers.
And if we're waiting for perfect, we're going to be waiting for an awfully, awfully, awfully long time. It's not attainable, so utopia will not be found. You have to give a little to get a little. Back in the old days, we called those negotiations. I don't know if that's still how this works. I don't know, and I'm not going to sit here and claim that I do. That's why I talked to the president and the CEO of the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce. Eric Spoonmore joins us today. But we can tie the convention center and CIB right into everything else, because the next steps in this project are to get somebody who will design this, and what we need inside those four walls, how many walls, what size, what building, what lot we're going to use. We can't have this discussion 3 years from now and just be on what color of paint we're getting to. What have you guys been doing, and what does the public need to know as we turn the calendar here to 2024 and start moving forward?
Well, I cannot emphasize enough. I think the CIB is making extraordinary progress thanks to the support of the elected officials involved in this project. They really understand the need to get this done. They're still working out some components on the interlocal agreement. I know that there's a agenda item on the county council tonight. They may be discussing it more. They may vote on it. I don't know what's going to happen, but I think we're getting very close there. And again, I don't have any concerns that we're not going to button up that interlocal agreement between the city and the county. And so just really appreciate all of the work that the elected officials are putting into that. In the meantime, the Capital Improvement Board is, you know, really getting to work in the details. We issued a request for qualifications for construction management services last week. We also issued another request for qualifications for an owner's representative that would represent the Capital Improvement Board as we're going through the building and design activities. And so we'll get responses back to that here within a few weeks. We'll review those. And if we think there's some a good match, we'll likely, the next step would be to issue a request for proposal. And, you know, that would require a lot more.
Can you do all this without an interlocal agreement? For those of us who don't follow this with the fine-tooth comb or a magnifying glass, are all of these things possible without the interlocal agreement to get done?
It is, yeah. You know, at some point, here's the thing. At some point, we're going to have to pay these folks.
Right. That's where I was going with this. No one's going to say, hey, I'll work on this project for 6 months for you. Just go ahead and right. Worry about that later.
And so that's why it's really imperative that the city and the county get this worked out so that everyone understands the flow of the money and how all of that's going to work. But again, if I was concerned about that, it would be a different story. I think they're really just kind of dotting the I's and crossing the T's at this point. And it is it's a brand new administration. And I think it's very wise of Mayor Thompson to be a party to this agreement. You know, it was kind of rushed through at the end by the prior administration, but it's very wise, I think, for Mayor Thompson to want to be a party to this agreement and kind of, you know, get her name on there, because she's going to be the one executing this thing too. You know, over in City Hall, Margie Rice is the new corporate counsel over there who works a lot of these details out when it comes to contracts and agreements and that kind of thing. And I can tell you, there is no better municipal attorney in the state of Indiana, in my opinion, than Margie Rice. I had the great privilege of working with her when I was on the county council and she was a county attorney. Prior to her coming to the county, she worked in the Cruzan administration as corporate counsel. So now she's returned back to the city as corporate counsel. She's worked in county government. She's worked in city government here in Monroe County. Nobody knows this stuff better than her. And she's going to make sure that everything is, you know, in really good order. So I think it's worth taking the time necessary just to get everything right. We waited this long. We can wait just a little bit longer on that interlocal to get all the details finalized.
No, I know that's not your area of your name's not going to go on that, for lack of a better thing. Wait a little bit longer. Is this a month, a week, 6 months, a year? I don't know what the parameters.
Yeah, I would say a matter. Well, we may see it get approved tonight for all I know by the county council. And then, of course, it would move on to the other units that need to sign on to it. But I think we're a matter of, you know, just weeks, if not days, away from this being fully ratified.
The next big question is you have the, again, request for proposal and the RFQ. I lose all these acronyms somewhere in there. Have we decided on which ground this will be built, or is that what these advisors and consultants are going to send back to you? How far along are we in that process, if you can shed any light on that situation for me? Boy, how do you talk to me every 2 weeks? Do you just think I'm a dope?
No. I enjoy talking about this stuff. So we have not yet made the final determination on what the location is going to be. Some of that's still up in the air on whether or not the RDC is going to make available that former Bunger and Robertson property, as it's referred to, where their former law offices were just north of the convention center and then the surrounding parking lot. So the city Redevelopment Commission owns that. I think it was widely understood at the time when the city RDC purchased it that it was going to be used for convention center expansion. We just need to understand whether or not they're going to contribute that property to the project. I would imagine they will, but you know, it's not my decision to make. And I think that would be the preferred option for expansion, is into that northward territory there. So once we can get that, and that'll be part of the RFP process. So that'll be the next phase, is the request for proposal. Once we have a a solid understanding of what direction we want to go into. And then, of course, the biggest part of all this is getting a budget together. I mean, we have to know what the box is that we're working within. And that means how much money do we have to construct this convention center. Right now, we're not quite sure. We're going to do some additional fiscal analysis on the revenue stream, which is the food and beverage tax that's funding the construction of this. And so, you know, since the last time we did that, there's been a lot of changes, again, to interest rates, to the term of how long we can bond for. Construction costs have gone up. So we're working out those details as well, too. Hopefully we can come back to our next meeting in February with a much clearer understanding of what that budget number is going to be. And that's what we're going to start working from.
Do you meet to meet, or do you meet when these dominoes fall over? How planned out are you through the first quarter of 2024?
Yeah, we have monthly meetings on the calendar now. That's not to say that as more decisions need to be made, that we couldn't add to our meetings. We don't want these meetings to become like those city council marathons where you're going for hours and hours and hours. We want to make sure that we're making good, efficient use, productive use of our time, and we're not getting bogged down into the weeds on things that don't really matter. And so, if we need to add some additional meeting time or meeting dates into the calendar, we've got the flexibility to be able to do that too.
Eric Spoonmore, not Eric Spoonman, Eric Spoonmore is our guest this afternoon. He is the president and CEO of the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce. Well, here we are. Let's see. 1, 2, 3. We're the fourth week of January. All kinds of busy things have been happening. I don't want to you're busy enough with so many other things going on. I don't want people to forget about the great things the Chamber is putting on as well, because that's a great time to network, have these conversations with people who are in the business world, and everybody can get involved with that. Did I miss business after hours? Is that this week? I think I missed it, didn't I?
Well, business after hours was last Thursday. It was fantastic.
I heard you had a big crowd.
A big crowd. About 200 people there. And it was very lively. We had a great time, and it just seems like the attendance at those business after hours events just continues to go up and up and up with each event. So we're having a lot of fun. It's a great time to be a part of the Chamber. Really looking forward to a great 2024, as spring and the warmer weather gets here. That's always just a time of real growth and activity in the Chamber. So we're looking forward to all of that. We'll have our next business after hours. I don't have my calendar in front of me.
Don't worry about it. I will find it.
This is going to be the last Thursday in February.
That's the one at Baskey. That's Baskey. It's a home show.
It's the Baskey home show down at the warehouse on South Rogers Avenue is where they have that. So that'll be a lot of fun too. Be sure to, for Chamber members, come on out to that. That's actually like a VIP night that we do for the home show. So it's a preview open only to Baskey members and Chamber members to come out and get an early sneak peek at all the stuff that's going to be going on at the home show. And as you know, the home show is a hugely popular event each February that they do down at the warehouse. So we're looking forward to that next business after hours down there.
Now, I'm thinking right off the top of my head, and it's gotten me in trouble for 49 years to this point. I'm just going to do it one more time. Would something like that be moved to the new convention center once that got done? That's just a local event. People think, well, we got to bring in, how are we going to bring in all these events from all over the world and whatever else? Well, this is an example of right in our own backyard, right?
Oh, yeah. I would love to see that event at the convention center. You know, the existing convention center just can't accommodate it. There's so many civic organizations in the community that are going to benefit from this expanded convention center. It's not just out-of-town conferences that we're going to be serving. The Chamber of Commerce, for example, we have our annual meeting each year, and that's a big fundraising meeting for us. We raise a lot of money through that event, and that's always done at the convention center. You've been to it before. You were there last time doing introductions, I think, for us.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the place was packed to the gills. We had to turn people away. And so that impacts us negatively from a financial standpoint. We're not able to raise as much money as we'd like to because we had to turn people away because we don't have the capacity that we need. So, and we're just one of many nonprofit organizations that run into that issue with our current convention center. So yeah, the community stands to benefit tremendously from this. In addition to, you know, the out of town visitor dollars that will be brought in to support our locally owned, family owned small businesses that make Bloomington such a wonderful, cool and vibrant place.
Somebody has reached out to me and wanted to know, is there the hotel still involved, or is this just convention center? So this is a full meal deal, right? The combo platter.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll have to have an anchor hotel.
Well, that's what I thought, but I didn't want to be like, oh, no, that's we're doing this first and that comes second. This is all going to kind of work together, right?
Yeah, you know, you can kind of do it in phases.
Okay.
But we're going to want to get a hotel partner lined up here soon. And, that, again, that'll be another RFP process, RFQ process. You know, it's one of those things that I'm sure there'll be a lot of interest in, and we'll have to find the right and best fit for the community. So that's another exciting aspect of this project because, you know, not only do we have a shortage of housing here, we have a tremendous shortage of overnight hotel rooms in the community as well, too. And, you know, that's reflected on IU game days when people have to pay $500-$600.
Keep going, buddy. Keep going.
On a two-night minimum.
Keep going.
It's like, that's crazy.
Well, so, the innkeeper's tax, we get a little piece of that helping out. I know the county watches that very carefully, as my friend Marty Hawk will tell me all about tomorrow. But that is important because you need both. You can't just – and why do a project 40% of the – it just doesn't make sense.
That's right.
We're trying to keep everybody reminded of this. I'm going to let you get back on the road, but before you go, a couple big events coming up. You've got Women League of Women Voters Legislative Update. That's coming up. You sponsor that. That's going to be this Saturday, 9:30 to 11. It will be via Zoom, but you have to register first, go to the Chamber's page. And then Gretchen Knapp is going to join Women in Leadership. That's in February, right?
Yeah, that's going to be in February for an Inspire luncheon that the Bloomington Women in Leadership Program is putting on. I think we've got, we're at full capacity on that. Last I saw, about 150 people registered for that event. So everyone's really looking forward to hearing from Gretchen, Deputy Mayor Knapp, who's very well known in the community, was formerly at the mill in the trades district. And so, a very innovative leader in the community, and really excited for that event. So,
and you have the Showcase Bloomington logo contest coming soon to a theater near you as well. Tell me all about that quickly, if you will.
Well, we're soliciting community input for artistic design for our Showcase Bloomington event. This was formerly Primetime, and we do this in it's a huge event that we do each spring. We moved it down to Switchyard Park last year. This is a community event. It's a business expo. But really what it is showcasing everything that's cool in Bloomington, especially as it relates to our business community and our members. So it'll be an evening full of live music and food trucks and food and a business expo there at the Switchyard Park Pavilion. We probably had 1,500 or so people. The parking lot at Switchyard Park was at full overflow capacity last year. We'll probably see more of the same this year. So check out that. If you've got any thoughts on a design, go check out our webpage and see what all the requirements are for that. and submit your designs. We're looking forward to picking out a cool logo for it.
Chamberbloomington.org. All of your information, all of your calendars, all the ways you can join the chamber as well. And you keep cutting new ribbons and putting new people in every week, buddy. Keep up the great work. We are in the final, let's see, this is, no, the final Tuesday of January is next week. We'll get caught up with you when it's going to be 58 degrees in early February. How about that?
Spring fever. Yeah, I feel it coming.
Outstanding. And remember, be nice to the groundhog. He'll be nice to you.
Yes. All right, Glass. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.